speaker is Alan W.
Hello, everybody. I am an alcoholic, and my name is Alan. And I'm a highly sensitive alcoholic. I was trying to write stuff out. I know I only have 10 minutes, and so like when I was going through it, it came up to 18. So I'm going to have to condense it and read really fast. Yeah, a guy this morning tried to read how it works, and his record was like 1 minute and 46 seconds, and he didn't do it this morning. So anyway, so I'd like to thank God for keeping me sober another day. And I want to thank the members of Alcoholics Anonymous and friends for supporting me in my recovery. In April of 1963, I was born in Mississippi. And then I moved to Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, when I was 3 years old. And so I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky most of my life. The sobriety date is the Kentucky Derby of 2007, and for those of you who don't know, the Kentucky Derby is held the first Saturday in May, and so that was May 5th of 2007, and I was the baby of a family with five children, and my oldest brother Leslie's here tonight to support me, and he's the only other family member here in San Diego. I moved out here like the day before Thanksgiving of 2006, and he graciously let me stay with him because I was just getting back on my feet again after coming out of recovery in Texas. So anyhow, I started out kind of at an early age drinking. Our next door neighbors had an annual pig roast, and they invited all their friends in the neighborhood. And so as a little kid, you know, I would get beers from the keg, and then I would take sips of them, you know, as I was walking to the, giving them their drinks. And I knew I had that warm, fuzzy feeling inside when I took that drink, and I just loved it. And so after the pig roast was over and everybody was gone, I snuck out to the keg, and I got a big glass of beer, you know, and chugged it. I said, that feels pretty good. I'll have another one. So, you know, I chugged another one, and before you know it, it was coming right back up. So I wasn't very good at holding my liquor down when I started out. I remember when I was 15 years old, my best friend, I grew up going to church. Oh, yeah, this brings up another story. I was picked up by the police when I was 4 years old. I swear to God. I was riding my tricycle down a four-lane highway the wrong way, you know. And so this cop picked me up, and he took me down to headquarters, and he started questioning me. And, you know, he's asking me my name, my age, my address, and I wouldn't tell him anything, you know. Because basically, I never did have to talk because I had all these older siblings that all I had to do was point, and they knew what I wanted, you know. So I didn't have to talk. So anyway, he understood, can you tell me where you live? So he drove me back home. My mom was out looking for me in a panic, you know. And so my next-door neighbor let me in. And so that was like the first time that I remember mom really being mad at me. So then, like when I was 15, my best friend in the church youth group was having his 16th birthday party, and I snuck in the next-door neighbor's house and stole a bottle of Canadian Mist. And, you know, I kind of had low self-esteem then. And so I chugged it, thinking that I'd be the life of the party. And I was the center of attraction at the party because I sat down on the couch downstairs and I was shoving the potato chips in my mouth and then petting their kitty cat, and then all of a sudden everything came right back up all over the cat. So they evacuated the area. They sat me in the laundry room, you know, giving me all kinds of questions like, where'd you drink? You know, where'd you get it and all this, you know, and I couldn't say anything. So then the next time one of my friends got his girlfriend pregnant, and so he decided to marry her and had a bachelor party. And at the bachelor party, there was all kinds of booze there. So me being a good alcoholic, I just had my fill and got really drunk. And they decided to play a joke on me or a trick or whatever. It wasn't funny to me, but they said the cops were coming. So we all evacuated. I went out in the woods in some blackberry bushes with stickers on them and two good-looking girls. If you go knock on their windows, you might get some. So anyway, I went over there, I guess, and I woke up in jail the next morning. You know, and I was so angry at God, you know. And then when I realized that I was stuck in jail and there's nothing I could do about it, I started singing hymns that I knew in church, you know. Like, God, I'm a good guy. Get me out of here, you know. I'm a good boy now. But so anyway, my brother picked me up, and my parents were in New Orleans on vacation, and he made me give them a call and tell them what had happened to me, you know. And so that was like the first time that I really had to be responsible and, like, be honest, you know. And then I wrecked my mom's car plenty of times, having to pay for it myself, and got locked up several times, sometimes for terroristic threatening, just because there was like 8 or 10 cops had to hold me over their head, you know, and carry me to the drunk tank at this ZZ Top concert. And so, you know, I still didn't think I had a problem, you know. So my first AA meeting was actually on my first date. This girl I worked with, I asked her out on a date, and she says, "Will you mind going to an AA meeting?" This is 1981. And I said, "Okay." So we went to an AA meeting, and it was a smoking meeting. So it was foggy, you know, let alone my mind being foggy. It seemed really foggy in there, and I thought everybody in there was fine, you know, which is frustrated, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. And you know, she was a newcomer and had a lot of, you know, baggage to unload. And I asked her to my prom. And so I pulled the bottle out and said, "You want some?" And she said, "No, thank you." So I took it home and I drank it. So I, you know, I managed to get a job. Well, I dropped out of college and got a job just to make enough money to support my habits. And it did include other things other than alcohol. It included weed and cocaine. So, you know, I managed until 2004. I had a job for like 16 years. And I had been going to AA and going to counseling a few times before just to get people off my back, you know. And when the fire settled down, you know, I would go right back to doing what I was doing. And so like in 1992, I bought a brand new Ford Tempo. And a couple months after I got it, I was leaving a bar. And I blacked out and I ran over these curves. I flattened all four tires and messed up the suspension. And then in like April of 1998, you know, I only had like 7,000 miles in the car. And I flipped the car 5 or 6 times. And my mom said a guardian angel must have had his wings wrapped around me, you know, as I was flipping. And I really thought it was lights out for me because the cop was behind me. And when I was spun around, I just knew I was going off in a ditch, you know, and I turned my lights out, kind of signifying that I thought it was lights out for me. And he said, "Why did you turn your lights out?" And I said, "I don't know." So anyhow, when he got to the car, blood was coming off my forehead, and so he called an ambulance, and I didn't have to go to jail. I just went to the hospital. So I went into treatment after that, and the counselor who met me there was the girl that I took to my prom, who was the girl who took me to my first AA meeting. Now, this is 12 years later, and she just said, you know, "Look what you can do with your life if you just don't drink, you know. I mean, look at me. I'm an alcohol and drug counselor now." And so anyhow, you know, I went through that program, had my 30th birthday while I was in there. And when I got out of there, I went back to my totaled car, and I found my quarter sack of weed and decided I was going to, you know, I hadn't had enough yet. So finally in 2004, I got fired from this job I had for 16 years. And, you know, after I had been going to a few AA meetings and counselors just to get people off my back. And so I basically just secluded myself from society. You know, I took out like $40,000 from my retirement account to support my habit. And just stayed in my room, you know. I did all kinds of demoralizing things, at least to myself. And but I thought it was normal, you know. I mean, it was such a vicious cycle that I had to keep using and drinking just to feel normal. And so finally my brother Brent intervened and said, I'm not going to let you ruin Mom and Dad's life, because I'd moved back into their house and I don't want to see you ruin your life. So would you go to this place in Mississippi where my uncle had been a psychologist at this recovery center? So I said, sure. So to make sure that I really wanted it this time, my dad says, well, you're going to have to pay for it. And he says, but if you make it through the first 30 days and you need more time, then I'll pay for the second 30 days. So I went down there, and, you know, I learned when I was down, actually 2 weeks after I got down there, Hurricane Katrina hit. And I was in Hattiesburg, which is just like 60 miles from the Gulf of Mexico, and like the eye of the storm went right over us. So that was the first hurricane I'd ever been in. And the power of a hurricane, if nobody's been in one, is so awesome, you know, that I could almost see, you know, God in the hurricane and his power, you know. And the program talked about finding a higher power, and with me, was that me? Wow. That was really quick. So, anyhow, more will be revealed later, I'm sure. And, you know, I just want to thank God and thank AA, and God bless all you, and God bless AA. Thanks.
Thank you.